perfect hosts.
In a bedroom in the House of Mystery, Dream awakes. His hair is lank, his eyes barely glow. The deterioration his realm has suffered in his absence is reflected in his condition.
I awake in the darkness, too weak to even summon a light. The air is musty, tired, old. It smells of lost dreams and rotten fabric. Where am I?
Hello? My lord?
You. I know you.
I'm Abel, my lord. From the first story? The victim?
Yes, I do remember you. I'm sorry, it's been so long. Where are we?
This is a bedroom in my brother's house of mystery. Gregory, that's Cain's gargoyle. He found you in the shifting zones.
Yes, I was on my way to the castle.
I'll tell Cain you're awake. He's made you some food.
I lie in the bed, feeling weaker than I have for eons, remembering. It was a dark and stormy nightmare. Before my imprisonment, I knew the journey would have meant nothing to me. I would not even have needed to travel. But weakened and exhausted, I stumbled through the fringes of the dreaming.
Must keep going.
The dream I had used to bind Alex Burgess in Eternal Waking had used up the last of my strength. But I had to reach the gates of Horn and Ivory, to reach my castle. But the way was hard, and I was far too weak. I do not know how long I remained there. I remember the wind on my face, staring at the dreamscape below me, and then I was here.
Good evening, Your Highness, Prince Morpheus. I've made you some food. We'll soon have you back on your feet again.
You are Cain, aren't you?
That's me, Your Worship, purveyor of penny dreadfuls, shilling shockers, blood and thunders, and first-rate nightmares. Or I was. Things have been strange since you've been gone.
Tell me, Cain, do you possess anything of mine? Anything I created?
Anything of yours? I wouldn't think so. No, no.
Yes, you do. Both of us do. Our letters of commission.
Abel's voice comes from a portrait of himself on the bedroom wall.
Remember? They have his signature on them. He made them.
You button buster, you low-down, spying, peeking, prying, butter-fingered...
Fetch me these letters. Fetch me anything of mine.
As is the way in the dreaming, where solidity is fleeting and dimensions are fluid, Abel proceeds to climb out of the picture frame, his letter of commission, a roll of ancient parchment, in his hand.
I have mine on me, sire, and Cain has his too. Here, take it.
Dream holds Abel's letter of commission, a scrap from his former existence.
I release something I created before the dawn of time. Reabsorb that fragment of myself I placed inside it.
There is a moment of blinding white light, and the parchment scroll is gone. Now Dream's eyes, dimmed by fatigue, shine a little brighter.
Now, Cain, your turn.
My lord. If it's not a foolish question,
what my brain dead brother is so spectacularly failing to enunciate is this: where have you been for so long, lord? What were you doing?
Where have I been? I have been imprisoned.
Meanwhile, in Gotham City, the former Ethel Cripps, lover to both Roderick Burgess and Ruthven Sykes, arrives at the main gates to the city's secure facility for the criminally insane, Arkham Asylum. Ethel may be a woman of advanced age now, but she's still a force to be reckoned with.
Come on.
Yes, can I help you?
My name is Ethel Day.
I need to visit with my son.
Ma'am, this is Arkham Asylum for the criminally insane. We do not arrange visiting hours without an appointment approved by Dr. Hantoon.
Well, then fetch Dr. Hantoon.
A minute, please.
I'm not leaving until you let me see him.
Dr. Hantoon says he will see you, ma'am. Come in, please.
Madam, you must understand. This is most irregular.
Young man, please do not prevaricate. I wish to see my son, and I wish to see him now.
You must understand, Mrs.
D. Ethel D.
Yes. Well, this is most irregular, Mrs. D. Arkham does not encourage visitors.
This is my son, John D. I believe he's imprisoned under his nom de crime of Dr. Destiny. Foolish boy. I have been searching for him for almost a decade.
We do have a patient of that name, Mrs. D., but this is most irregular, and I'm afraid
Young fellow, I am 90 years of age. I have not seen my son in 10 years, and I have traveled over 8,000 miles to see him today.
Watch the steps. They can be slippery.
I'm flabbergasted that you couldn't bring John up to see me, Mr. Hantoon.
It's Doctor. Dr. Hantoon. We can't risk letting him out. He's too dangerous. He no longer sleeps or dreams in the normal sense of the word. And physically, he's quite debilitated.
Mother! Mother!
John? Is that you? John? John, are you in there? It's so gloomy.
Mother!
Son.
Mrs. D, please be careful. He's unpredictable.
Oh, be quiet. John?
Mother, I would have dreamed of you. If I could dream. It's been a long time.
What have you done to him? What have you done?
Mother,
you look so old.
I am old, son.
Things are so strange these days.
Mrs. D, I'm afraid he's getting overexcited. We should go. Mrs. D, say goodbye.
I have to go. I'll try and come back.
Mother! They took my dreams away from me! Mother! Mother!
Goodbye, Kane. Goodbye, Abel.
Goodbye, sire.
Goodbye. I ought to give you good advice, and I have... Oh, well, there he goes.
Shut up, spongewit, can't you?
Shouldn't we have told him about the castle? About what's happened to the dreaming?
Why? He'll find out soon enough.
You aren't mad at me, are you?
Mad? Why should I be mad? I don't own you, you refugee from a bloody shambles. Now come and open your present.
Beyond and outside the dreaming, there is infinite dust, infinite dark. And the dream world is infinite. Although it is bounded on every side. The way to the center is a slow spiral. Having passed the houses of mystery and secrets, old way stations on the frontiers of nightmare, Morpheus charts a course nightward, hastening towards the gates of horn and ivory.
And here is the gate I seek. This is the horned gate of my castle, its inlaid doors carved with loops and whorls of decoration. I carved them myself when the world was younger and order was needed. The dreams that pass through the gates of ivory are lies, figments, and deceptions. This gate admits the truth. No one guards the Horned Gate anymore. I remember the way of old.
Once through it, I can see my castle. Once through it, I will be able to see my home. Oh.
But the spired and turreted vision before him is one of sad neglect. Its walls are riven, its windows smashed. It is desolate.
Breaks your heart, my lord, doesn't it?
Lucian.
One and the same, my lord. At your service, lord. As always.
Lucian the librarian, curator of stories for the Prince of Dreams. Tall, bespectacled, emaciated, a faithful and trusted servant.
Get up, please get up.
Yes, lord.
Lucian, what happened here?
What happened? You are the incarnation of the dreaming. And with you gone, the place began to decay, began to crumble. The process was slow at first, my lord. Things in the dreaming began to transmute. I was aware of it in my library. Slowly the words began to fade. Sometime after you vanished, my books became bound volumes of blank paper. The next day, the whole library was gone. I never found it again. It's been a strange century for all of us, my lord. The Raven Woman has decayed badly. She lives only in nightmares. Many of the palace servants dispersed back into the dream stuff that formed them. Brute and Glob vanished 20 years ago. I do not know where they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've encountered Cain and Abel already.
Ah, yes. Those two disturb me. I mean, they've always been weird, but since you've been gone, the weirdness has been getting worse.
Something has gone so wrong, Abel, and it's been getting slowly stranger. I've tried not to do it to you so much.
Well, what's out there? You stare so.
Just the usual. Gravestones, swamp. It soothes me. Have you finished yet?
Nearly. Oh, my gift is an egg. Cain! Something's... The egg!
It's not just any egg, you understand.
From the egg has hatched a baby gargoyle. It is all head and feet and crumpled little wings.
It's beautiful. I think I'll call him Irving.
Irving. You can't call it Irving. Names for gargoyles always begin with a G, like gazpacho, or Garmagon, or Gladstone, or Ganymede, or... where's the blasted poker? Damn you, Abel!
No, but... I like Irving!
You make me do it?
You make me?
Dream gazes upon a miniature of memory held in his outstretched hand. It represents the palace that was once his home. Graceful, symmetrical, its spires and elliptical arches elegantly framing its ovoid windows.
So it's gone.
He crushes the shrunken dream castle in his fist. He and Lucian stand on the empty plain where it once stood.
It hurts me too, Lord.
Hurts? Yes. Some power returns to me, simply by being here.
But I placed too much of myself in the tools, and they are gone. The helm, the ruby, the pouch of sand. Stolen. Lost to me.
The three in one know much. Earth, the Thandian Skald. If you are strong enough to summon her...
Yes. Yes. I will call them. Leave me, Lucien.
Yes, Lord.
The dream world. The dreaming. The unconscious. Call it what you will. It is as much a part of me as I am a part of it. And for the first time since my return... For the first time in 70 years, I reach out my substance and I shape the world. The crossroads comes from a Cambodian farmer, from his dreams of a new ox cart. The gallows comes from a young Japanese movie buff, her head roiling from a surfeit of old Hammer horror films. The honey, the snakes, the crescent moon, all these are easy to find. A black she-lamb is more difficult, but one dances in the dreams of a child in Adelaide, Australia. I take it to set the scene. But still, the scene is not complete. Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos would come for less than this, but I need a boon, and the three are fickle. Ah, yes, there. Dully, the church bells echo and clang in the lonely darkness 12 times. It is midnight, the witching hour, and they come. The one who is three... The we who are they, the Hecate.
A funnel of dust kicks up before the Lord of Dreams. Within it, an ancient crone in a wide-brimmed pointed cap materializes, standing behind a great cauldron. As the dust settles, she steps out of herself, once to the left, once to the right. The one has become three, a crone, a mother, and a maiden.
Welcome, ladies.
You look so thin, my darling. You haven't been eating properly, have you, no?
Morpheus, it's been a long time.
He wants something.
Lady Atropos, you have found me out. I do want something.
Atropos? No, not now. You might as well call me the Morrigan.
She's right, my ducks. Might as well call us Tisiphone, Alecto, and Megara. And that takes us back, eh?
Might as well call us Diana, Mary, and Florence. Oh, sorry.
For me, you will always be the three graces, ladies.
Flatterer.
Oh, is the clever one.
So what should I call you?
I'm Cynthia.
She's Mildred. I'm Mordred. Stupid name. I ought to be Morgaine.
It wasn't my fault. I just got them confused, was all.
Witch Queen, you know of my imprisonment, of my travail, of the time that was stolen from me.
They have stolen time from you. What of that? You have all the time that ever was.
They stole more than time. When I established this realm, I created tools to administer it. My tools are lost. I need help.
Help? Listen to him. Did you help us against Cersei?
It doesn't matter. This is my realm. It has laws. Old laws. And the beings of this world conform to the laws. Just as you three obey your own laws. Could one of you exist apart from the other two? I need three answers. You are bound by the laws to give me them.
Aye, my dearie. One answer, then. One answer from each of us.
Maiden, there was a pouch of sand. It was stolen from me.
An Englishman, John Constantine. He was the last to purchase your pouch.
He has it still?
One question, one answer. The rules, my lord.
I see. Then your question, or mother, my helm. What happened to it?
Traded with a demon, my dove. Many years ago, long gone from the mortal plane.
Which demon?
One question, my honeysuckle, and one answer.
Crone, a final question for you. My stone, my dream stone, my ruby. Who has that now?
Your gem passed through a mother to a son who trapped its dream magics for his own ends. Until it and his dreams were taken away from him by the superhumans. Ask the League of Justice about its present whereabouts.
But where? No. One answer only, I know. Thank you, Weird Sisters.
Did you hear that, my sister self?
Thank you, he says. You don't thank the fates, Dreamkin?
We haven't helped you.
Your troubles are only just beginning.
Exhaustion bites at my soul. I have answers of a sort. This will be an uphill quest.
Abel has been dead for a couple of hours now, but he's starting to feel better.
Ow.
He gets to his feet and begins to climb the hill to his house. He feels splintered vertebrae grind as he walks, but even pain feels better than the cold of death. It's a long way back up. Finally, he arrives at his own front door, where his present from Cain sits at the top of the wooden steps, waiting for him. Small, sweet, vulnerable. A baby gargoyle.
Oh, there you are. Let me sit down for a moment. You can hop up onto my lap. Oh, hang on. I'll pick you up. There. I'll tell you a story, Goldie. I'm calling you Goldie after a friend of mine who went away. But I'll think of you as Irving, really, in my heart. It's a secret story. It's a story of two brothers, and they loved each other very much, and they were always nice to each other. Nice and kind and brotherly, and the elder brother would never hurt the younger brother, never. And they lived together in this same house. And they were very happy. I'm sorry. I wasn't crying. I'm not crying. I'm not really crying.
It's only blood, little brother. Only blood.
So, much has changed. Much is strange on Earth since I was ripped from my dream home. What first? I doubt I am strong enough to go up against the hordes of hell. Not yet. To Earth, then. The ruby first, or the pouch? There are things I do not know about this Justice League. More than mere humans, eh? The Englishman, then. John Constantine. He has the pouch, or he knows where it is, and he is just a man. I will visit Constantine, regain my pouch, and with the pouch I will have the power to dare the gates of hell itself. Though opening the gates of my own realm is almost beyond me. Constantine is, after all, just a human. Just one human. What could possibly go wrong?
three.
It's four, a detached house, five, an hour six, west of London, seven, built in the 1970s. Nine, ten, Rachel moved 11, back in with her father 12, after 13, she and John split 14, up. 15, but that was a 16, while ago.
17,
her hair 18, comes out in clumps 19, when she moves. 20, 21, she tries not to move too much.
23, 24,
her skin is flaking, infected, and inflamed. Bed sores cover her back and legs. Her fingernails grew long and brittle. Then they broke off. Her nipples are hard and dark and shrunken on breasts like empty pouches. The ragged nails rip her skin when she scratches. Her stomach shrank, then bloated, then it shrank again. Hunger subsided to a low nagging in the back of her mind. It's okay. It goes away. Like the pain goes away. Like everything goes away when the dreams come.
71, 72.
She feels reality ebbing back. She'll wait.
7.
Delay the pleasure.
79.
Delay the dreams.
81, 82.
The pouch of sand lies on the nightstand.
86.
Will she dissolve some in her mouth this time?
90.
Breathe it. Rub it into her skin.
94,
it doesn't matter.
96, 97, 98.
She's counting to 100.
100.
Not that John Constantine knows any of this. He is 60 miles away, fast asleep.
That's an oldie from the vault, a real rock and roll classic.
For Pete's sake.
I need a smoke.
Ugh, can't wake up.
Have you ever had one of those days when something just seems to be trying to tell you somebody?
The Sandman. Dream a little dream of me.
There was a smell of magic somewhere. Like the blue spark smell of ozone at a fun fair. I just had another nightmare. These things, with faces like appendectomy scars, were crocheting me intestines, turning them into body bags for the blind and the dead.
What's the time?
11:20.
Damn.
I told myself it was only a dream, but it didn't matter. The bastards just kept on bloody knitting.
Hello, London.
Hello, John Constantine. How are you then, London?
Well, I'm all right. Full of people, raining you.
Not bad.
It's almost lunchtime, so I'm heading to Ed's for the breakfast.
Good idea, John.
Thank you, London.
John Constantine, you've been earlier.
Morning, Lee. You've been busier. Give us a cheeseburger and two mugs of coffee. It's going to be a long day. Have you got a coin for the jukebox?
For you? All right. Here. What are you putting on?
One I used to sing with Mucous Membrane ages ago. Practically my theme song. Heard it through the grapevine? Hey! This is busted.
It's temperamental, that's all. You've got to learn to press the right buttons, John. Maybe you're not awake yet.
There's something trying to tell me somebody.
Somebody trying to tell you something, huh? Yeah, behind you.
Hey?
I think it's your girlfriend outside.
Jesus. Mad Hetty.
Yeah, don't bring her in here. I'll never get rid of this smell.
Hetty!
Round here, in the alley. It's important. Oh, it
This is useful.
You wanted me to watch you go through Lee's bins.
Oh, no, no.
What then?
He's back, John.
Who's back?
You're alone, smart boy. Morpheus, Dream, the Oneiromancer. Oh, you know him. He's back.
Dream of the Endless?
Mad Hatter, you've got to be pulling my leg.
Oh, you cheeky young jack of apes.
Look, the Sandman's a fairy story you tell your kids to get them off to sleep. Sprinkles magic dust in your eyes and brings you sweet dreams. I'm trying to save the world, Hetty, and you want to tell me fairy stories.
Now you listen to me, John Constantine, you little prick. I said Morpheus, and I meant bleeding Morpheus. He's back, John, and he wants his own. I know. I'm 247 years old, and I know. He's back.
All right, all right.
Morpheus, eh? Suppose I'll have to look into it.
Funny thing is, she is 247. I mean, nobody says jackanapes these days.
They call themselves creepers. It's a sport. Breaking into people's houses while they're still at home.
Yeah, this one. Here we go.
He finds a drainpipe which leads up to a half-open window.
Yeah, feels solid enough.
During the day, he's an investment counsellor. He left the Porsche half a mile back down the road. Hopes it won't get stolen. There are some real thieves around these days.
Flashlight. Living room upstairs, all right. What have they got?
Credit cards, CDs, videos. He thinks of it as his contribution to the free market economy. And he...
That's funny, aren't
he? He must be dreaming. I can feel the warm tightness of her skin. The scent of sex is heavy in the air. Her lips taste of roses and passion, and she holds him like her life depends on it. This is too good. Too good to be true. He's hitting 150 in the Lamborghini of his dreams. Everybody's green with envy.
Jesus!
The acceleration goes on forever. And he's dying for them, and they love him. He's pure and perfect, and he's dying for their sins. He can see his parents, his boss, his lovers in the crowd below him. Oh, they're sorry now. Sorry they treated him so badly.
Yeah, it's me.
Because he's the son.
Work hard at school, kid.
Last son of a dead planet. Strongest man in the world. He can do anything. Anything. Absolutely anything.
Archaeological notes, Alfred Watkins, 1925, Rosenfeld's particle theorem. For the next few days, I keep meaning to investigate this Sandman stuff. CERN, Abbas Giant, an alternate theory. I just never quite get round to it. And my own researches keep me busy enough. One thing I've learned... You can know anything. It's all there. You just have to find it. I fall asleep in front of the TV and dream a mess of ley lines and leptons, plasma fields and turf giants. Then the dreams get scary and bad, as per usual. It was on the third day, when I got home from the library, that he caught up with me.
John Constantine.
Shit.
You dropped your books. You are John Constantine, I presume.
Well, I'm not Dr. Livingston, pal. Little joke. Very little. I suppose you must be...
Something of mine came into your possession. A leather pouch full of sand. I want it back. Where is it?
That pouch? Well, that was years ago.
Yeah, I bought it in a garage sale in San Francisco. I knew it was powerful stuff. But I never managed to get the drawstrings open.
Where is it now?
Oh, I haven't seen it for ages. But the odds are it's down in my mate Chaz's lockup with me stuff from Paddington and from the Notting Hill place.
Let us retrieve it, then.
I hope you don't expect me to go on public transport with you dressed like that. It'd be dead embarrassing.
Dream is wearing his black robe with a hem decorated with flames or screaming heads or neither. It depends on the observer.
No offense.
Now he's dressed in a black trench coat, identical to John Constantine's grubby beige trench coat.
Is this better?
Maybe I ought to introduce you to the big green bloke.
Big green?
Lives in a swamp. You'd like him. He hasn't got a sense of humour either.
Brewheria. Plant elemental.
We have been looking for 2 hours, Constantine. Patience wears thin.
Next.
I do not believe the pouch is here. If it were here, I would be able to feel it.
We've still got a load of boxes to get through yet, boss. Keep smiling, it'll turn up. How'd you lose this pouch, anyway?
It was stolen from me by a man called Burgess.
Roderick Burgess? The old demon king himself, eh? You must be older than you look. What's this up here? Damn. I don't know why I hang on to all this stuff. If there was a fire, it'd be like my whole life was going up in flames. Oh. Jesus. Rachel. Oh, Jesus, bloody hell. I wondered where I'd put this photo. Boss. I think I know where your pouch is.
John, can we stop at a service station? I'm parched. I took off without my tea.
You heard the man, Chas, old mate. Sorry. I ain't no mark for the Venus of the hard sell.
I know I owe you, John, but this is pushing it.
Drive us, Mr. Chas. You will be rewarded.
It's just Chas. Mr. John, what do I call him?
You don't call him. His kind just kind of turn up out the blue. They call you.
Everyone shuts up when Chaz jolts us up the motorway. Our visitor melts into the backseat shadows, and I remember Rachel. Amazing Rachel. Junkie Rachel. We were living together in a high-rise flat in East Croydon. I went to Alaska for 6 months over the Lupus affair, and when I got back, she was gone. Along with my stereo. The telly, me silver surfers, any old junk she could convert to money. And she'd long since converted the money into junk.
Stupid bitch.
Sometimes I still miss her. I wish I'd realised that she'd nicked the pouch as well, though.
The candy-coloured clown they call the Sandman. Tiptoes to my room every night.
Candy-coloured clown? Just a sprinkle. Yeah, right.
This is it. The Brambles. We'll ask her dad where she's living these days and go find her. No problems, eh? Yeah, dad's all right. Retired air pilot. Nice man. We'll get your bag back.
The pouch is here.
How do you know?
I know. The pouch is here. And more than the pouch. This house is dangerous, Constantine.
Just stay in the car. Roll up the windows, lock the door. You take off at the first sign of trouble, right?
But John...
No buts, mate. Your missus hates my guts as it is. Let's not give her a reason to, right? Rachel was always playing with the pouch. She kept going on at me to try and open it. She'd ask me, what's the point of having something magic if you don't use it? I knew the answer, but I knew she'd never understand. Nobody's coming to the door. And if I remember correctly, it's locked, bolted, and alarmed. Let's go around the back. We can smash a window getting that way.
No. We go in by this door. Aprite.
Oh. Nice trick.
It smells strange. Part of it reminds me of the month I worked for an undertaker. All flesh and formaldehyde. It's weird. Smells are a hotline to memory.
The electricity's cut off.
There's 6 months worth of mail on the doormat. What's been happening here?
Constantine, this place is not safe for you. Things are free in this house that should not be loose on Earth. You must not stay here.
No, I'll stick around. I'm intrigued. Anyway, I was fond of Rachel once. She was, you know, the girl of my dreams for a while.
Which is her room?
I don't know. They've remodeled.
Let us try this door.
This was a spare room.
Watch out for the human.
What do you mean?
Oh, human. Yes. Oh.
Is he?
He's alive, after a fashion.
What happened to him?
He is being eaten by dreams.
It's hard to see it.
You need light?
He conjures up some kind of globe of energy. For a moment, it lights the room.
Better?
Sure. Thanks. The burglar lies asleep on the floor. Then the light gutters and goes out. I've been out of my depth before, and something tells me there are sharks in these depths. I ought to be running away, but... Rachel. We move back into the hall. The far part of the passageway looks a dark red colour. Movies. Old dark house. Horrible menace on the loose. Let's split up. Muffled screams in darkness. We'll stick together, won't we?
Stay close, then.
Unthinking in the gloom, I reach for the light switch. Oh, Christ. There's something on the walls here. Something wet. I can see the clouds, and they look kind of solid. And the ground below them, and that looks really solid. And it's a really long way to fall. And I'm falling. How did I get here? Memory fills in. The plane on fire. I jumped. I was the pilot. No, a passenger then. I don't want to die. I don't want to fall. I tell myself it's not the fall. Falling doesn't hurt. It's when you stop.
Constantine!
John. Oh. You're here.
So real. You were there too. A dream. It was only a dream.
It is never only a dream, John Constantine. Here less than some other places. More light.
In the fitful light, the hallway appears spray-painted with glistening, pulsing flesh.
Ugh.
Lumped with nodules and polyps, stringed with sinews, laced with blood vessels.
Jesus.
What is this stuff?
A human body. What's left of it? Your woman's father, I would surmise.
I touch the wall. The flesh upon it shrinks back beneath my hand. But it's... He's still alive.
That's right.
Oh, I feel sick. I can feel the hot dog and coffee I grabbed for dinner trying to fight their way back up for air.
How?
The pouch.
From the pulsing, wet walls, hummocks of flesh and other protruding parts now turn towards us and become mouths, snarling and trying to drive us off. The woman. Rachel. She's through there.
Do not disturb us. Do not disturb her. Always from hungry.
I don't care who you bloody are. We want to see Rachel.
Foolish. Foolish. Very foolish.
Let us through. This has gone far enough. You have exceeded your bounds.
dreams, right?
Right.
And you're really their master?
Yes.
Thought so.
He opens the door, and we're in a bedroom. It's dark. I don't want to think about the smell in here. Pear drops, ketones, sewers, morgues, garbage, hell.
Hello.
Alive. She's alive. Rachel?
John? Is that you? Oh, I've had such a wonderful dream.
Jesus, Rachel. Jesus. I turn to see the Lord of Dreams picking up the pouch from the nightstand. Hair fix.
We can go now. I have the pouch. The dreams will return to their proper location in time.
The bag. The bag? My bag. But it's not my bag. Oh, it hurts.
You can't leave her like this.
Why not? Her metabolism is obviously destroyed. The sand was the only thing keeping her alive. She will die soon. Painfully, I would imagine.
Just wanted the dreaming.
I said you can't leave her like this.
Just wanted. Just.
Very well, Constantine. Go outside.
But it... Yeah. All right. Rachel. Sweet dreams, love.
The tall, dark figure opens a leather pouch. From it, he pours a fine dust into his outstretched hand. He casts it over the face of the stricken girl, who stops writhing and lays still. The veil tears, and she feels the flesh flow back onto her bones again. And she knows he's waiting for her.
John!
Hello, love. It's been a long time.
Did you miss me then?
Nah.
Bastard. Love you.
I know.
It's the best of all possible worlds.
I re-enter the room to see him pulling the covers over her body.
Well?
She's dead.
Did she...
She died peacefully. She died happy.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. Got your sodding sandbag back then. I'll go wake Chas up and take off back to the smoke. Got work to do, eh? I'll see you.
Goodbye, Constantine.
But, hey, hang on. Wait a minute, please.
Yes?
I don't like to ask for favours. If they don't owe me something, I mean, I don't want to be in anyone's debt. It's just...
What are you asking, John Constantine?
It's just... Ever since Newcastle, the last 10 years, ever since Newcastle, I've been having these nightmares, bad ones. Most nights, and I wondered if you could...
I understand. Very well. It is done. The nightmares will no longer disturb you, John Constantine. There may still be bad dreams in your future, but that will be up to you.
Thanks. Where are you going now?
To hell.
Huh. Aren't we all, mate? Aren't we all?
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her the cutest that I've ever seen.
For the 100th time since I regained it,
I reach into the pouch and I touch the sand. I sift it through my fingers. I feel each grain of it, inexhaustible, endless, like myself, like the few others of my kind. Endless.
The Lord of Dreams walks through the night, along a jetty which extends from the shore of his realm over a dark sea which reflects the stars overhead. On second glance, it is a sea of stars.
Tonight, I feel alone. I have always felt solitary, but here on the nightward shores of dream, loneliness washes over me in waves, lapping and pulling at my spirit.
Morpheus has left behind the world of mortals, beings whom he considers to be essentially his inferiors. Now he faces a very different proposition indeed. To regain his stolen helmet, he must make a journey from which he may not return. He must go down to hell itself.
I sprinkle sand into the waters of night. The grains burn as they fall, reminding me of another in times long passed away. I watched the light-bearer even then as he fell, his face undefeated, his eyes still proud. It is time for me to walk the abyss, time to reclaim my own. I must talk to the Morning Star. I do not have high hopes for this meeting.
And he steps off the jetty and falls and falls and falls.
The wind that blows between the worlds chills me as I fall. Suppose I fail. I cannot bluff demons as I bluffed the errant dreams with Constantine. But I have the pouch. I have a modicum of power. And I have hope.
The Sandman. A Hope in Hell.
I find myself alone and afraid upon emptiness in the naked space at the gate of hell.
Morpheus stands before a towering wall of tortured flesh and jagged rock. Among the piled-up body parts, faces stare down at him from cruelly contorted angles, spikes driven through their eyes, their ears, even their mouths. They groan softly in their agonies, but their eyes watch him with interest. Above is a red sky. Beyond, through the great gates, can be glimpsed a blackened hellish city, a post-industrial nightmare. To the right of the blooded opening is a large gong, a solitary eye gazing upon him from its center. He makes a fist and punches the dull metal disc.
Here's one at the gate.
Who does the boat?
Who ventures here?
Master, there is one at the door. Lord Squatterbloat. Master!
There's one at the door, at the gate to damnation. Is it thief, thug, or whore? There's one at the door, and there's room for one more till the end of creation. There's one at the door, at the gate to damnation.
The gatekeeper is a hunchbacked creature, perhaps 4 feet high. It scuttles upon two legs with clawed feet, barely a head between its shoulders. Its good arm is tiny, with a feeble claw at one end. Its other arm is huge, with skin like raw turkey. Its hand is a notched and battered carving knife. Ordure drips from its muzzle.
Well?
Morpheus draws himself up to his full height. No matter what fear he may feel, he is the Lord of Dreams, a representative of his country on a diplomatic mission to this foreign land.
Greetings, Squatterbloat. I wish to talk to your master.
Take me to him immediately.
Oh, yes, my clown. And who might you be?
I have many names, but I am Morpheus, the king of dreams, of the nightmare realms. I seek Lord Lucifer, the lord of hell.
A king? So, where's your crown?
Some demon has stolen it. I have come to hell to get it back.
Oh, yes, my clown. You're new in town. So where's your ruby?
I will take no insults from you, little demon. Guard your tongue. Lucifer will not be kind to one who insults an honored guest. And I am a guest in this realm, as I am the monarch of my own.
Back to your gate and duty, squatter bloat.
The demon Etrigan, huge reptilian with horns, tusks, and webbed ears, drops ape-like from a rocky outcrop, his red cloak billowing.
I'll take the dream lord, play his guardian, for innocents abroad need guides of note, and who notes more than me than Etrigan?
Etrigan? Yes, Merlin's demon, Blood the Hearthman. I remember you. So you're a rhymer now. You've risen in Hell's hierarchy, I see.
Things change this way. Things change in Earth and Hell. To rise among the fallen, strange and true. But as things change, Lord, they transmute as well. And if I've changed, O King, then what of you?
I have been absent for some time, but changed, perhaps.
Dream follows Etrigan through a smoke-drifted, lonely landscape of small and leafless trees. From each tree, a tiny doll hangs. The Lord of Dreams brushes past one of the trees, snapping off a twig. Blood drips from its broken end. A quiet voice swirls about him.
Not too much feels blessing back. Had to get out. Hurting. I thought the hurting would stop.
The Wood of Suicides has changed since my last visit to Hell. I remember it as a tiny grove. Now it resembles a forest. Hell is changing.
This way.
Etrigan leads Morpheus along a steep mountain path. Set into the cliff wall beside them, they pass tiny cages. The naked, cramped occupants staring out, hands reaching for succor.
Upon your right are souls entombed to pity, an ugly sight.
Never trust a demon. He has hundreds of motives for anything he does. 99 of them, at least, are malevolent. Etrigan?
Kaikun!
The voice comes from a young black woman, from an African race which ceased to exist 10,000 years ago. Sealed into a cage, shards of razor-sharp glass set into its bars, she is thin but very beautiful. With spiral tattoos on her cheeks, her body decorated with walls and abstracts. Once, she was Dream's lover.
Kaikul!
Nada.
Kaikul.
Kaikul is an old name for Dream, who appears to people differently, according to their frame of reference. In Nada's eyes, his chalk-white face is a deep mahogany brown, and a line is tattooed from the hairline down to his right eye. His eyes still glow, and the cheekbones are still set high.
Dream Lord, I hoped one day you would come to me. Free me, my love, please.
Etrigan, why did you bring me here?
Kaikul!
I greet you, Nada. It pains me to see you like this.
Kaikul, free me, my lord. You ordered me confined here. Your forgiveness can free me. I implore you. Don't you love me?
It has been 10,000 years, Nada. Yes,
I still love you. But I have not yet forgiven you.
Now, onward to the city!
Kaikul! Kaikul!
They do not talk for the rest of the journey to Dis, the Hell City. At last, a great structure looms over them. A winding path over sulphurous pits of glowing molten rock leading them upward to its crenellated spires. There are stained glass windows, but the staining is of blood and ordure. There are buttresses of naked, separating flesh, outcroppings of teeth, clumps of bodies hanging from gargoyles, melted flesh dripping down its immense walls. Within its rooms, ever more desperate demons strive to find pleasure in ever stranger acts of lust and cruelty, of frustrated and dead carnality. Dream pauses.
Lucifer's palace. It, too, has changed. It echoes with loss and pain. The last time I came to this place, it was as an honored guest, an envoy from my own kingdom.
Come! Come!
This time, I lack power. I lack my symbols of office. But I am still Dream, and the doors of the palace open for me. We travel to the summit, past vasty halls that echo of screams and grunts and sighs and dust, upstairs that run with sweet blood. At the top of his mansion, at the balcony overlooking his domain, he waits for us, alone. Greetings to you, Lucifer Morningstar.
Hello. Hello, Dream.
Lucifer's face is beautiful, sad, pitying, loving, grave. It is a face that has your best interests at heart. You must know that. He stands a good 9 feet tall, but the feathered, shining wings he had as an angel were amputated when he was thrown out of heaven. The wings which have grown back are leathery, bat-like and disgusting.
Etrigan, please leave us.
My liege.
We hear you were caught by mortals, like a newly fledged demon, sweet Morpheus. We expected better of you. Still, you're here now. Have you come to join forces? To ally your dream realm to ours? To acknowledge the sovereignty of hell?
You know my views on that, Lightbringer.
Yes. Yes, we do. Your family are well, I trust. Destiny, death, despair. The others? Well, no matter. We assume that this is no social call. What do you want?
My helm was stolen from me. I believe one of your demons has it. I would like it back. Now.
Ah, oh, if it were only that easy. Things have changed in hell since you were last here.
Things have changed? What are you trying to tell me, Lucifer Morningstar? That you no longer rule hell? That the demons no longer follow your rule? Things do not change that much, proud one.
Ah, but they do, Morpheus. Lucifer is no longer sole monarch of these nether regions.
This is our co-monarch, Beelzebub.
This demon, once god of the city of Ekron in Felicia, became chief of the 9 hierarchies of hell. Thick-bodied, a half-human head over a chitinous ebony exoskeleton, it has huge compound eyes. Its mandibles work furiously, the human mouth beneath issuing forth clouds of flies. It cannot be mistaken for anything but